The Big Breakfast with Marto, Robin and Nick Cody.
Hello, welcome to the catch up. Make sure you subscribe. Couple of lads from Logan muffed up royally over in London, didn't they?
Oh, wow. A scrape with police. Mm. Kids from Logan. Gee, doesn't add up to me.
Also, Greg Martin, you put yourself on a lime scooter. There is the most ridiculous photo of you that we're putting up on our socials.
They're so good, Robin.
You look like you're out of the Scooby-Doo movie.
I'm thinking about drinking kombucha.
And Marto and I, we went to the Big Bash last night.
How
it was my first Big Bash game. It was great till the lights went out. We had a chat with the captain and possibly the man who pulled the plug on the stadium, Chris Lynn.
We've been hearing about the two boys from Logan that have caused a bit of chaos in London. They're two Logan boys. We've got Nick on the line with us. Hello, mate.
G'day.
Explain to us what happened, mate.
Mate, it was quite an ordeal. We're over in London on an invitation from royalty.
That's huge.
Yeah, we've got a startup that's doing some philanthropic sort of work in the small solar scale.
So you've taken all your solar gear over there to try to pitch for something.
We kind of smuggled it in. We didn't think we'd be able to take everything because it looks pretty dodgy, honestly, guys. But they let us take it on the planes.
Okay, so then what? You were in a hotel. What happened?
Our thing is all handmade, right? So it does look quite like a B word. It's a battery B word, but it looks quite like a bomb.
So there's wires connecting a power source to something else. So if you X-rayed it, looks like a bomb.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
What happens next?
All right, so we're just out there doing an event all day. Everything's going really well. So we're completely oblivious, right? My co-founder gets back to the hotel at about 8. His key doesn't work in the hotel, right? Goes to reception. They're like, can you just take a seat, please, sir? We just need to sort something out before we can let you into the room.
God, the British are so polite, aren't they? They think you've got a bomb and they're like, just take a seat, champ. We'll be with you in a minute.
Essentially, they go, okay, we're going to let you back in the room. This is about after half an hour, but you just need to talk to the police first. Brad's freaking out. So it turns out the housekeeper found it.
Found your device.
Yeah. Reported it, and then it just kind of set in motion a chain of events that included, the 150-room hotel getting evacuated, a fair few blocks around getting cordoned off. And this is like central London, right near the Tate Modern. It's right in the middle.
That's pretty unlucky too, because generally housekeepers know everything about solar-powered batteries.
Can we just check, is it like doctor-patient confidentiality? Is a housekeeper allowed to do that? Report on what she finds inside a room?
They shouldn't be, right?
No.
The bomb might kind of usurp any sort of hotel rules.
All right.
So we were like, who's the snitch? Like, which one was it?
So have you arrived back at this stage?
Logan.
No, so it was just him. And I was Wi-Fi hopping because I was too cheap to buy a local SIM. So he couldn't even contact me. So I've found out about it the way that you're finding about it now. Just like he's telling me the story, I'm going, wait, what? So we jump on Twitter. I can see that all these people around it had been live tweeting it, which was quite an interesting way to find out about it too.
Have they bought it? Have they bought your idea?
So that was it. They basically the police conversation was, guys, you've caused a lot of chaos. We found your passports and we were able to Google your names. So we know what you're doing here now, and we know what you're doing with Powerwells.
Good plug.
Really love what you're doing. Keep up the good work. But next time, how about you hide it in your suitcase a bit better?
Yeah. That's
fair call.
It's trying to harness the sun, not blow it up.
Wow.
Yeah, that's it.
Good on you, man. So Powerwells is the company. You got that away. Well done. And good job not getting arrested.
Thank you very much.
Drama at the Gabba last night. I was lucky, really. Brisbane Heat got out of jail there.
Claims that Chris Lynn turned the lights off after he got out.
Well, we know those are the claims you're making, so we've lined up Chris Lynn.
I want my money back.
The Brisbane Heat captain is going to join us after 8 and respond to those allegations.
Yes, you have to actually put it to him now
says. Don't offend
him. Too late, baby.
What's happening? Too late. You just said it.
I'll give you too late. Last night, trying to get to the cricket, I got on the phenomenon that is Lime Scooter. There's an article in the paper this morning. Let me just read. The global head of Lime is in Brisbane, or was in Brisbane yesterday, said Brisbane has become one of the world's fastest adopters of e-scooters, eclipsing most of the 130 cities where the company has launched. Second only to Paris, they reckon, in our take-up rate. 300,000 trips. What was it? 3 weeks before Christmas? Four weeks before Christmas?
Yes, they just started to appear.
300,000 trips have been made on Lime scooters. And I'm proud to announce that in the traffic jam, I was in Boundary Street West End yesterday, Arvo, having a beer with my best mate. We were on our way to the cricket. I got there late because traffic was filthy.
No, you got there late because you're banned off Uber. And you can...
My mate bringing up the past.
My mate said to me, "Let's take Uber." I said, "I can't. I've got a lifetime ban."
Yeah. I'll tell you about do that for that?
Nothing.
They just banned me for life for nothing.
All right. So I said, "And I'm not hopping in one until my appeal's been heard." So we weren't taking Uber. I usually take yellow cabs everywhere. Couldn't find one of those. And both in our 50s, okay? Both in our early 50s, he went, "Let's do the Lime." Ooh. I said, "Oh,
old.
Woo, woo, woo. I've had two beers. Let's just walk." And it was about two and a half Ks to get to the cricket. And he went, "No, come on." So we both downloaded the Lime app, came up on our phone.
On your phone? On your Nokia?
No.
3310.
The Nokia's not. I've updated.
You've got Snake and Lime on there now.
I don't know what the phone's called, but it gets apps, all right? And so we get the app, Robin, and then you've got to find them, and they're everywhere over near South Bank. And then we get on. It was the greatest experience. You know how you see a jet ski go past and you go, "What a tool," until you get on a jet ski, then you go, "Oh my God." I was going past people people got their three kids and trying to round them up, travelling all the way down Vulture Street to get to the Gabba. And when you get there was 26,000 people there. You're on a Lime scooter. We didn't have any helmets. All right. Hold on. I better tell you that bit. So this guy came up and said, "Oh, I wouldn't ride them if I was you, mate." I said, "Why not?" We were just about to grab them. And he went, "Oh, cops just picked up the two blokes who were on them for not wearing helmets." And there were no helmets there. And apparently I said, "What? Wrote a fine?" He said, "Yeah, wrote a fine." And we went, "Oh, bugger that." We looked over the road. You know, the city cycles,
bike. Oh,
we went knocked took off our helmets off there. See, it should just all be mix and match, shouldn't
should
it?
Be. Yeah.
So isn't, we had helmets on.
That's okay, it. Isn't. What? Should be, but isn't. So you've stolen two Brisbane City
and they're the blue helmets.
No, they're the yellow ones with Lipton Ice on them. The Lime ones have got a green helmet. Anyway, we're looking the part. We get on them. It was so good going past people, just
fanging.
What are you doing? It was like being in a helicopter going over the top. It was just you felt so special, and it was
like
so
a king.
Quick.
Lime scooter, on a like lime. Royalty.
Mate, you beat everyone. Occasionally you skip out onto the road, you skip back in, and then when you get there, you don't have to worry about how am I going to get out of the cab. You just go straight through, just go around.
Throw it in a river, go in the gate.
In the river? No. Hop off and you park it right next to the gate and no one stops you. It seems, how tight our government is and how closed in on all the rules, etc. For some reason, they've just let the rule book go on this one.
Mate, you should have tried to get in there on the Lime scooter. Just keep pushing it. And mate, check your backpack. Just nee, 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 nee.
Nothing to see.
They say money makes the world go round.
Show me the money.
Well, unless you're a flat earther, then you've got a whole lot of other issues going on.
Make money, money, make money, money, money.
Win $1 million with Triple M's Millionaire Listener.
Yeah, I'm living life in the fast lane.
The Big Breakfast with Marto, Robin and Nick Cody in the morning. And $1 million while you're at work. 104.5 Triple M.
High drama at the Gabba last night, Marto.
No, Nick and I were there and watched the first innings. The Sydney Thunder, they batted first. And Shane Watson, the boy from Ipswich, just carted us. We didn't bowl well.
Mate, it was my first 2020 game. Yeah. It is high energy. In between every ball, just hardcore dancing.
That's so fun.
Techno music.
So fun.
I know we're pill testing at festivals, but maybe start at the Big Bash. It's a wild time.
Average age, 8. Oh, God, the kids
just
loved
it. Red cordial testing.
Robin, it was so good. And then, so they made 186 runs. For anyone who doesn't know, Watto made, 103
something.
Or something?
He was very
just
good.
Over 100. He was outstanding.
Back in the test, though.
And then half time was brilliant, light show, and now we're finding, well, then, soon after the light show, so Brendan McCullum, Baz, our New Zealander, our super batsman, the first of the Bash Brothers, gone for zero.
Yeah,
then Lenny comes out, everyone said, "Oh, everything will be all right." Gone after he scored 1-4, then went 2-10, and then this happened.
And we're having an issue now here at the Gabba with at least one of the lights has gone out.
Just because the Bash Brothers are out, you can't go turning the lights off.
Sabotage.
The lights are out, but the tunes are pumping.
I know, I'm trying to keep everyone. There were certain people in the media this morning have suggested that Chris Lynn
went straight
from the centre wicket and turned the light off.
You 5 minutes ago, what did you say? Come on.
Lynnie turned the lights off and I want my money back.
Okay, let's ask him. Hello, Chris Lynn.
Good morning to you.
All right, what really happened?
Look, I don't know. All I know is that quarter of the field went out and a couple of blocks behind it. I know there's a certain couple of pubs behind it, so they would have been filthy that the lights went out because they would have had to evacuate everyone out of their bar. So
Oh, so a few other players. So you reckon someone's hit a pole? Was it it Marto on a lime scooter? Is he just?
There's a couple of blocks that were out, but we got the word through that it was nearly not fixable. You couldn't get them done, but it was amazing because as soon as we shook hands, about 6 or 7 minutes later, the lights come on.
Oh, what are the odds? Lenny,
crazy.
It was a very different evening, but I just want to say quickly that, to all the Brisbane Heat fans, Sydney Thunder fans, like, thank you for coming out. Look, at the end of the day, we do look like the bad guys, but I think you do need a level playing field, and obviously the conditions of the field change throughout the match, but it wasn't ideal. And I do feel sorry for the Sydney Thunder guys. Watto scored 100. I'm not sure if it even counts now because it wasn't a game.
No, it was a draw, fair and square.
Yeah, fair and square draw.
We all know, Lenny.
A lucky draw. Hey, Lenny, did they really offer just to bowl spin bowling to you if we'd keep on playing? Is that true?
Yeah, they did. But, like, they picked 5 spinners, so they were going to bowl
spin. Do that
spin
anyway.
They were going to bowl spin regardless. Like, if they had someone like Rashid Khan, who's the number one bowler in the world, would have said, no spin, you can bowl quicks in the dark. If they
said we'll bowl with our opposite arm to our good one, would you have taken them
up? Well, possibly, yeah. But the thing is, like, the conditions of the field has changed dramatically, and look, the safety's got to come first. We've seen what's happened with cricket over the last couple of years with safety, that's first and foremost. And the thing was, because there was no power, the big screen. Like, the whole stadium would have conked out. It was running on battery. It only had 5 minutes left as well.
It sounded like street cricket as a kid, like you're allowed to play cricket until the lights went out.
Yeah, exactly. But they would have then had to keep people in the stadium with no power on.
Oh, no. Lenny, I'll give you security and safety. The men's toilets down near the downstairs bar, lights were out in there. There were blokes having a wee on phone light.
Oh, no.
Some bird box. Some wet shoes this morning. Chris Lynn, we'll take the point, brother. So thanks for that.
Mate.
And best of luck for the rest of the season.
Look, it's not ideal, but it's... look, hopefully we can just get it sorted. I know we've been crying out for another a refurbished Gabba, so hopefully that just speeds the process up.
Lenny, we will be back, mate. The entertainment is beyond approach by anyone else. You've done good.
Good on you, Lenny. Thanks for joining us this morning. Catch up again soon. It's Big Breakfast on Triple M.
You guys know I'm a big fan of Airbnb. Had lots of Airbnb experiences, which have been truly wonderful, both in Queensland, in Australia, and then, of course, our big overseas trip.
Did you use Airbnb when you went over there with all in your honeymoon?
Yeah, so we did the honeymoon for 9. So it was Sean and I and then 5 of our kids and 2 girlfriends. And we travelled right throughout the US.
Jesus. Sounds like a Mormon family, you know.
That one of the places we used the Airbnb was in Utah.
Yeah,
and it was a fantastic house. It was quite close to the ski fields where we were skiing, and it was amazing because when you've got 9 people, hotel rooms become super expensive. So the Airbnb is a much better alternative.
Question without notice, just for anyone who's driving and listening to this, how did you get them around? Transport's always, I like logistics. Were you in a big van or were you in 3 taxis?
9 lime scooters?
9 lime scooters. Actually, LA have lime scooters, interestingly enough. No, the boys did some lime scooters occasionally. Yeah. A lot of Uber, and in the US they have a thing called Lyft, which is an Uber equivalent.
But
and
no one, you didn't ever have anything big enough to take the 9.
We tried. We were going to hire a car, but that required one of us to be able to drive in America, and you've seen how I touch
the Partridge family bus would have been available. There's one for oldies.
Anyway, so the Airbnb experience had been fantastic in Utah, and we gave this guy a glowing reference, and he gave us one back. Very happy. Got to LA, Christmas Eve, okay? A lot of really tired people. We'd just come off this week of skiing, and we were trying to plan our Christmas Day knowing that that was going to be the next day. So we arrived at this Airbnb on Venice Beach. Now, I didn't know a lot about Venice Beach.
Sketchy. Looks good in a postcard.
Is it sketchy? Okay, so
as in dodgy, sketchy.
Really dodgy.
We rock up to this Airbnb and it said that it slept 10, right? Yeah. And it was right on Venice Beach.
7 hammocks.
Okay. No.
1 alley.
It's almost. And some cardboard boxes.
There were 2 rooms and a toilet.
Yeah.
And one room had bunk beds for eight people.
Yes.
Whoa.
And then there was a double bed.
What'd you hire out a hostel? La-di-da.
What Big a honeymoon.
Not
what
a honeymoon. Not at the cost. When you have all seven of your children independently coming up to you and saying, Mum, we know it's your honeymoon, but could we please not hear that it's your honeymoon?
Oh, no.
Robin. Buy some earplugs for your family.
Oh, you reptile.
Did they give you a bad Airbnb review?
Like,
get a bad one from your own kids. Pick a walls next time, thanks.
3.5 stars for Mum's sex life.
Well, that certainly ruins your Airbnb experience,
doesn't
it?
Really. Well, yeah. You know, and yes, we're now tagging it up with Airbnb to try and get some sort of
thicker walls. Yeah, concrete.
Because the bathroom had glass doors.
Soundproofing.
Like you couldn't even wait without everyone hearing.
Oh, that's uncomfortable too.
Shocking. I've had a mate that accidentally, he goes, what a bargain. In New York, click shared room. He didn't get private room or entire property.
Yeah.
Shared room where you're just in a room with someone else in a bed
with
next
a stranger.
To you. Yeah.
You're bunking in their bedroom.
Oh. Yeah,
there's
he didn't realise that he'd
not a
that.
Double bed.
Like, no.
Could you imagine?
Is it all right?
That's Tinder, mate. I Airbnb'd last year with my mate, old plumbing mate of mine. We were travelling around South Africa, okay, before a game of footy, and we Airbnb'd four nights in a row. Three of those nights we got a big double. Those aren't pillow style.
Yeah.
Is that okay? But that's all right if they advertise it.
Are you asking if it's all right if you sleep with your mate?
Plumber.
I don't know, mate. That's you.
He's a plumber, mate. There's advantages. But if there's two of you and it says double E, we knew there was two, but it doesn't say there's only one bed.
That's funny.
A problem.
Twin bed. Twin bed means
that.
Two. Double bed's one bed.
Yeah.
I must have misread something.
Yeah, of course you did. Rose at Wellington Point, what happened with your Airbnb?
Well, we booked a year before my younger sister's wedding in Airlie Beach, to stay in a luxury villa, and we'd saved our money, and it was going to be amazing.
Nice.
And a week before we went to go to Airlie Beach, they emailed me with a cancellation that they double booked, and we couldn't stay there.
You reptile!
It was school holidays, it's Airlie Beach, there's hundreds of people going for my sister's wedding.
Yeah.
So it was a choice between an $8,000 apartment or an $8 a night cabin. We chose
whole
the
cabin?
Power option.
It's a bargain.
Yeah, whole cabin. Yeah, and the reason being was because it was pretty bad.
You can't.
We did save a lot of money, but it was horrible.
You can't actually get compensation for that, can you?
No, Airbnb do give you a little bit back. I've had it happen a few times where someone
whinged.
Pulls the pin the night before. Yeah, and then Airbnb will give you that money back plus a percentage on top of because they want to keep your business.
But do they guarantee you can sleep somewhere? Like,
they'll help you find. So say you pay $300 a night, someone pulls the pin, and then you try and find a place, $350, $400, they'll cover the rest. Because it's there.
What's your repercussion? Can you go back and then give that person a really bad review?
Yeah.
Like, how would you compensate?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, man.
Just trash the joint. You got the address. Just go egg it. Who cares?
Big breakfast, Triple M.
Today afternoon I went to ARB, you know, the four-wheel drive place.
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
I only just got my licence.
<All right. laughs>
And we'll talk about that
Basics.
A little later on.
I can almost get you to explain to Nick what ARB... Anyway, or you know all the big four-wheel drives around the place. Anything that's got add-ons to it, ARB supplied, okay?
Whether good to know.
Lights, bull bars, back, you know, trays, whatever, okay? Yeah, when you do get a big boy's licence...
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that one day.
Yeah.
Why are you 31 with a
P-plate?
All right. So I was down there having a yarn, said, how'd you go? Yeah, always asking, how's business? Oh, mate, busy in December. And, you know, even now we're busy because people are still going camping. And so we started talking about camping, mm-hmm. which is where most of the people who got four-wheel drives go camping. Where do I spend most of my holidays? At Moreton Island. And so we rent now, okay? We stay in a house because we've had enough of camping over the years.
I thought you were going to say you're renting a tent.
No.
No, mate, Marto.
All right. So, Nick, what we've got.
How bad
that's
is
grim.
It?
I'll point to you. See where Bribie Island is on the map?
Yep.
Across from there is Moreton Island.
Yep.
The whole thing's sand. There's no roads. There's
beautiful.
One little resort. No one, you know, there's a couple of pieces of concrete there. Everything else is sand. That's where people go to camp. Now, I used to drive past them every day. I'd go up the, you know, whether you're going fishing or wherever you're going surfing, go past all the campers.
And you'd look at them, they all look so happy.
Oh,
they're just nothing. Relaxing. And they just
There's no screens. Everyone's actually communicating as human beings, and then they drink at night and fall into a tent.
Well, family, and the kids are great.
I'm selling it, aren't I?
No, that's what happens. And you've been there, you've done it, and there's no one can get hurt unless there's a fire incident or somebody. Yeah, well, anyway, sometimes there's incidents, but they're so happy. But it's a lot of the times it's 2-3 families camping together. All the kids do the washing up. All the kids go and collect any firewood. Mm-hmm. The kids get involved with everything. It's wonderful. And it does. Everyone looks at each other or talks to each other. And that's the good part about camping. The bad part about camping, and this is where I want to ask the question, it's too expensive to justify 2 weeks a year of camping for what it costs people to get into a camping trailer and or a van or whatever.
I'll be honest. I thought camping cost anywhere between $8 and $12. Are you telling me it's more than that?
Per person, per night. But the thing is to actually get there. You should see the setups people have got. Everyone's got so much gear on board these days. They've probably got $20,000 to $25,000
worth of camping. Do you reckon that much?
All right,
do you
hold reckon? On. Is it too expensive to go camping? I'm claiming it costs you about $20,000 to put everything together to go camping for 2 weeks.
But and if you're only going 2 weeks, do you have a shower and a toilet when you're saying that?
Yeah, these people will have showers and toilets, and they've all got solar. Some of them have got 5 solar panels. Some of them have got a solar setup that's worth $5,000 or $6,000.
Just gone to the Anaconda website, and they're saying you can buy a portaloo for camping for $219. Like, surely if you've got a shower set up, a toilet set up, and a sink, it's because usually your partner is saying, I want a toilet. I want a shower.
You'll need a new barbecue. You'll need a new table.
Well, no, that's what he's saying.
You'll need some new chairs because last year's chairs are all frayed and Auntie Martha, she was fat and fell through it. Yeah. Like, you need all that stuff. It's all the little bits and pieces. And your $200 per toilet ends up being, $3,000, okay.
But how much stuff do you buy before camping doesn't become camping anymore? You know what I mean? If you've,
I know,
you
the bring word your own glamping days. Keeps on getting brought up.
But I do like the glamping.
As long as you're not in a house on stumps or wheels, you're camping.
All
right. Okay, well, Mandy of Stafford, what do you reckon about the expense of camping?
A slab. No, I don't believe so. We've been camping for 30 years and there's no way we've spent that much money on all of our stuff. And we do it pretty well.
Hold on. Now, you don't have a trailer. Do you operate out of the car and just pitch the tent?
We've just got a four-wheel drive and we pinch tents. Yep. We have instant tents. We have gazebos. We have a portaloo. We have showers.
Instant tent?
No way we've spent that much money.
That sounds amazing.
Tents now just pop up half
How
the
much
time.
Would you have spent then, Mandy, do you reckon?
20.
Oh, no.
20.
You might spend a I've got three kids. We take a big family with us. 20. And we would have spent a few thousand, 5,000 maybe.
Your husband.
Over 30 years.
Your husband, an honourable man.
He is.
Have you ever lied to him when you got home from a shop and the same way that he's lying to you sometimes?
No, we're very good bargain buyers, though.
Mandy,
you
know,
Mandy's real. Price for anything. If you want to go camping, you look at the sales, you pick up things, and you don't have to pay full price for anything.
All right. Yeah. One more, Mandy. Do you look at other campsites and go to your husband, why haven't we got all that stuff? Is there any jealousy?
Oh, you look at things and think how well things are done with other people's campsites. Actually, you've got to streamline it. You're not taking everything. You don't want to take everything under the sun, otherwise you may as well stay at home. You go camping because you want to feel the sand under your feet, walk out the tent onto the beach.
Do you reckon it makes the kids a better people?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. My kids are in their 20s now and they're still coming away with us.
Good one.
There you go. Thank you, Mandy. Mick, what do you reckon about camping?
Too expensive?
No, rubbish. I bought a CIG camper trailer, soft floor off-road camper.
Yeah.
For $2,800.
What? I thought they were about $15,000.
No. the new ones maybe, but why would you buy a new van to take off-road to scratch the crap out of it?
So when was yours made, 1978?
No, it would say 2003.
Oh, that's not bad. Okay. Well, okay.
Right, my theory is
getting
shot.
Car. He's just smashing it around the bush.
And one last one.
My theory's not going well, is it?
Troy of North Lakes, what do you reckon?
My mate's got a trailer and he keeps all the camping stuff in it as well, but he's also got 4 beer taps on it.
Legend.
Oh, my God.
Legend.
So he's got 2 kegs set up inside.
Yeah, and he runs the famous ginger beer for the ladies as well.
Oh, my God. Is he married?
Yeah, married with children. Yeah, we pull up at a campsite and everyone becomes his friend all of a sudden.
I bet
Man, that's weird.
Do.
How does that happen?
mentioned on your tree.
You forgot about money when beer got mentioned.
Marto, you've spent 20 grand, haven't you? I reckon you've spent 5, lost 15, and then just gone, camping's expensive.
I want a ruling on something. I've been stewing on this all week. So Sunday night at my house, everyone has to be home for dinner. We usually have a baked dinner, and it's just a family time for us all to catch up with, you know, our weeks and so on. Because I've got a son who's going into second year uni. He's nearly 19. I've got a son who's going into year 12. He's nearly 17. And then I've got my baby who's 14. And so I like to just get everyone together, and Sean's there. And last Sunday, both the two eldest boys had their girlfriends with them. And of course, they're invited, and I love them being there, and I know them, and they're both great girls. Mm. So we have our meal, and everyone's right on form, lots of banter backwards and forwards. Anyway, the deal is whoever cooks, then the rest of the family have to clean up.
That's a good rule.
Right.
So I thought you were about to say, whoever cooks, cleans.
No.
We
run a
worldwide?
Tight, harsh ship in our house.
Is that a
prison.
Is that a rule in your house? Has that been a worldwide rule
yeah,
forever?
Yeah, it's a good one.
I
if you cook, you don't
one.
Clean.
So Sean and I tend to like to do it together. You know, we have a good time with it, maybe have a glass of wine and just enjoy it. So therefore, at the end of the meal, all jobs. So I'm talking clearing the table, stacking the dishwasher, sorting out the, you know, sweeping the floor. The whole lot has
putting
to be done.
Putting the condiments back.
All of that. And we've got a glass tabletop on the dining room table. So that's got to be particularly wiped down with, you know, paper towel and, you know, so the whole thing. I don't delegate who has to do what. I just throw it to
you
them.
You just say, do it.
Right.
Sort it.
So they were like, yep, they know the rules. So Sean and I went somewhere. I think we actually took the garbage out. Anyway, came back into the kitchen, and there are my three sons sitting at the dining room table while their two gorgeous girlfriends are doing all the work.
Wow. This was obviously pre-Gillette ad.
It's true. It is pre-Gillette
ad. If I wasn't going to get carved, I'd say they're keepers.
No, come. Okay. Just wait one second, right?
Oh, okay.
For 4 years, I was a single mother, and I refused point blank to be the only human being in the house that actually did anything. And I thought I raised my sons better than that.
You got to, I think with young boys, you've got to turn, if you turn it into a challenge, if you say chore, they're not keen. But if you're like, whoever washes the dishes first is the champion of dishes.
Have
they're
a
like,
scoreboard.
What? I'm not soft. I will beat everyone at dishes.
Do you think it's okay for a young man to allow his girlfriend to take the responsibilities within his own house? Mm. Like, I was
Does he do the dishes at her place, though?
Yeah,
is it one of those, I'll make you look good, you make me
I've
look good?
I've seen that happen. Remember when you were growing up, you'd go to other people's places and do stuff that you wouldn't do at home in terms of to impress those people. That's maybe what these girls...
I didn't think
they
about
might have
that.
Pushed your sons. You've maybe taken this out of context and came in at the wrong moment. They may have pushed your sons and made them sit down. Don't you three go
really?
Anywhere. We'll do all this because we're guests.
That sounds about
really?
Right.
Really?
Heroes.
It does not.
They are.
Selfless.
They're the victims.
Selfless. Making their partners look great.
No help at all.
It's a yellow, Robin.
It's a yellow card for Robin.
You heard me.
Your sons have been bullied by these girls. Thanks to all the callers all week. You've been brilliant. And if you don't know, early in the morning, we start at 5:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And about 5:35 every morning, if you want to get up a little bit earlier, if you miss this, but we have a last person standing where we have 5 questions and it's the person. You know, obviously, if you don't answer it correctly, you drop
out. The next caller.
Person who answers the 5th question is the winner. We had an extraordinary case the other day. Doesn't often happen where one dude, and he was a very classy guy, he went all the way through and got all 5 questions.
Ran the gauntlet.
His name was Darren, but better than that, he's been one of our best callers of the week. I just want to replay this.
Darren of Bribie Island, good morning.
Hello.
Hey, now we get told when on our computer screen little bits about you, and you've told our producers you work with animals. What does that mean?
Yeah, that's correct. I'm a butcher.
Oh.
What a champion.
What a guy.
What a champion. I saw at the cricket last night, I love people who, the traditional title, they'll jazz it up. This girl, Fair Deacon, she was working for the cleaning company at the cricket at the Gabba last night, presentation attendant. She had the broom and one of those, you know, the vertical dust, you know, things just sweeping.
Cleaner.
And she did a bloody, she's a cleaner, but she was doing a bloody good job and she deserved a better term than cleaner. Presentation attendant. She was presenting the Gabba in this beautiful form.
That's a good idea. Actually, I've heard a friend of mine is a website manager and she calls herself a digital overlord.
Wow.
Digital overlord is, that's grim.
That keeps people thinking.
Bad websites,
well,
the dark
how about
web.
This one? I was just Googling. What is a beverage dissemination officer?
Bar person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a mate who owned a pub. Nailed and he called himself a liquid engineer.
Oh, that's a good name,
and
too.
And just owned a pub.
So what do you want? Do you want some more?
Other names for professions. Like people love... Garbologists. What are they called now? Garbos.
Yeah.
Refuse transfer...
Operators. Oh, yeah, operators. Just chuck operator in that. Or that attendant. Sounds like uni.
Sales reps here at Triple M could be called marketing rock stars. Whoa. Or brand evangelists.
They've called themselves that, haven't they?
Yeah, pretty much.
Beautiful. Brand evangelists
are
is
we
great.
Media professionals, you reckon?
Oh, we could do better than that.
Well, yeah. I can't say anchor because I'm not something not that chains a boat down in deep water.
Early rising dickheads.
Dribbling munter.
Dribbling munter.
Put it on my business card.
Munter.
Dribbling munter.
Microphone munter.
Andrew of Tingalpa, have you got a good name for your profession?
Oh, it's not my current profession, but I used to change coat hangers from like a white one to a black one.
Yeah.
Not very glamorous, but I used to tell people that I was a garment suspension technician.
Oh,
that is very
that's
nice.
That's good. Okay, why were you changing coat hangers?
I still don't understand.
Oh, because they go to different stores and they come in from the factory and some of them needed black hangers and some of them needed white hangers.
Oh,
never even thought of that.
Fair enough.
The term very riveting job.
Andrew, the term logistics covers a lot of things, doesn't it? That just means you're doing something.
Yeah, logistics.
What does logistics
mean? I'm in logistics. I think we're doing it now. Word logistics.
Barad of Gympie. You got a good name for your profession?
Yeah, I'm a freight relocation specialist.
Hang on, a what?
A freight relocation specialist.
You're
freight,
a truckie.
Yeah, truckie.
I am.
Yeah.
I love it.
Nice.
Yeah, no, I prefer
give us
freight.
A toot, Brad.
Hey, what was that?
Give us a toot of your horn.
Yes.
Yeah.
The faintest of toots.
Who's never out not of your funny. Way? I don't care. 7 or 70. You're a truck? Yeah.
It's the fart joke of transport, isn't it?
It really is. Rich of the Sunny Coast. What have you got? What's your creative name for your job?
How's it going, crew? I'm an environmental transfer technician.
Oh. Environmental? You cut down trees?
No, I'm a garbo.
Oh, heck.
Environmental transfer technician. That's very nice.
Bad part of the environment that he's transferred. Can we go one more?
Yeah, Tammy of Eaton's Hill.
Hello.
Yeah. Hi, what you got?
Well, it was my nephew. His first part-time job, he was an underwater ceramic technician.
Oh, great.
Oh, pool cleaning?
Building Aquaman's house?
No, he was a dishwasher.
Oh, dish pig.
Thanks, Tammy.
Good on you, Tammy. It's a big breakfast, Triple M.